This is Block by Block, a community news program from WPPM LP 106.5 FM, where we explore issues affecting the Philadelphia area with news reports from members of the community. I'm Sultan Smalley.
And I'm Natalie Thomas. In the next half hour, we'll hear stories from our community news reporters about a community refrigerator that helps feed families in one Germantown neighborhood, a West Philadelphia institution that promotes equitable access to bicycling, and graveyard gardeners who bring new life to a final resting place for the dead.
But first, the presidential election is less than 2 weeks away, and voters in Pennsylvania can either vote by mail or visit their polling place on election day to vote in person. Block by Block reporter Lisa Barnes spoke with Lisa Dealey, vice chair of the Philadelphia Commissioner's Office, to find out what voters need to know before casting their ballots.
Well, Election Day is Tuesday, November 5th, and we have got a very tight race going on here. We've also got a lot of new voters coming on board to vote this year. Let's talk about people voting for the first time. What do they need to know before the election?
First-time voters in Philadelphia will be asked to show identification at the polls to verify their identity. You'll also be asked to show identification if you are voting for the first time in a polling place. So if you moved and you used to vote in one neighborhood, you're going to have to show identification to your new polling place. So they're the two times where we'll ask for ID to vote, first-time voters and first-time voter in a polling place. We are always reminding people to make a plan to vote. Use our website. It is a wealth of information at vote.philly.gov. You can find out all you need to know about voting in Philadelphia, whether by mail in the satellite election office or in person at the polls on November 5th. All the information you need is on our website.
I read an article in the Inquirer that said thousands of ballots are thrown out each election period because voters do not put the date on the ballot. Or they think that they're being asked for their birth date and put the wrong date on there.
You bring up a great point. If you're voting by mail, it's very important that you follow closely the instructions that are in the packet. You want to make sure that you sign and date your declaration envelope, which is the outer envelope. You want to make sure that you sign it and you date it with the date that you are completing that envelope. The best advice I can give somebody who's a little nervous or trepidation about voting by mail is to reach out to one of our satellite election offices. We have satellite election offices conveniently located in each city council district and at City Hall. And those folks are there to help you, to assist you, to make sure your ballot is properly executed so that it can be counted.
Some people have received mail-in ballots where the envelope's already sealed. What should a listener do if that happens to them?
That seemed to have been in like the first run. Those calls seemed to have stopped. So there was a lot of moisture in the weather when we first mailed those ballots out, which created some of the envelopes to come pre-sealed. At this date, I would say you still have time. You can call our office. We're happy to send out a replacement ballot. Or again, you can go to our website. Could also go to one of our satellite election offices. They will replace your ballot right there on the spot. And if you choose to do so, you can vote the ballot and return it all in one stop.
What if you change your mind? You receive the mail-in ballot, but you've decided that you want to go into a voting place. What do you do?
If you choose to vote in person, you need to take your full ballot package with you. The whole packet, the outer envelope, the inner envelope, everything you got in the mail from us. You bring that to your polling place on election day and surrender it, and you'll be able to vote on the voting machine.
For our elderly population, people who are elderly and people with disabilities, what options are out there for them to make sure that they're able to vote?
Everybody has the option to vote by mail with no excuse, for starters. In addition to that, the city commissioners designates and lists polling places and their accessibility. It's on our website. And if your polling place location does not fully meet your needs, you'll be able to tell by the glossary of terms next to the polling locations. So if you can't vote at one of our centers, you can always vote by mail. In every one of our 1,703 divisions, our voting systems are equipped with an ADA device, which can help those voters that require extra assistance at the polls, whether it's to have the ballot read or to use a toggle switch or a puff, whatever you might need. You can also request assistance and you can pick whoever you want.
Can you bring someone with you? Like, let's say you wanted to bring your daughter or son with you.
You absolutely can. Just let the people in the polling location know that you brought your daughter with you and you would like her to assist you to vote, and they'll handle that for you.
People who may not speak English, what options are available for them?
The staff at the polling location has a language identification guide. So they'll hand you a phone every polling location. They can point to the language. We can call a number and they will receive language assistance in whatever language they might need right there on the spot.
Many people are under the misconception that if you have a felony conviction on your record, you cannot vote.
That is absolutely not true in the state of Pennsylvania. And I so thank you for bringing that question to the forefront, because that is one of the areas where we find the most mis and disinformation around. So unless you are a incarcerated felon, you can vote in Pennsylvania. If you're out, if you served your time, by all means, register and vote. If you're a pretrial detainee, you have the ability to vote.
The ballot for 2024, what are we voting for this year?
Listen, everybody's talking about the presidential race. It's the most important race in everybody's mind. And absolutely, it deserves that level of attention because, let's face it, who the president is affects the whole world. But there are other equally, if not more important races that are on that ballot that affect Pennsylvania and Philadelphians' everyday lives, like the United States Senate. The entire United States Congress is on the ballot. State treasurer, state auditor general, state attorney general, your state representative, who you probably drive by or walk by his office in Philadelphia on the reg because they're right in your neighborhood. You might see them at the Acme or they might coach your kids' football team. Those local state representatives, they're all on your ballot. And in some cases, the state senators are also on the ballot. So in addition to the president, which absolutely is deserving of the attention, we want to remind voters to vote down the ballot for all the races to maximize their vote.
You've said it several times, but I want to end with this because it's very important. Where can voters go to get all the information they need to learn about voting in the state of Pennsylvania?
You can call our office at 215-686-VOTE, V-O-T-E, or you can go on our website at vote, V-O-T-E, .phila, P-H-I-L-A, .gov, G-O-V. That's vote.phila.gov.
That story was produced by Block by Block reporter Lisa Barnes.
Neighborhood Bike Works is a West Philadelphia nonprofit that's been offering a variety of bicycle-related services to Philadelphians since 1996. Volunteers operate a store where you can buy a refurbished bike, and they can also teach you how to maintain and repair it thanks to educational programs for kids and adults. Block by Block reporter Marion McVeer recently rode her bike to the shop to learn more.
Welcome to the shop. This is Neighborhood Bike Works. We have our mission statement painted above the board. We have this amazing mural that has sort of a visual history of Neighborhood Bike Works. It's just a fun space. We've got gears in the front window. We've got local mural artists doing artwork all over the space. So it's a really unique space and a really fun, colorful space to be.
My name is Jessica West. I'm the executive director here at Neighborhood Bike Works.
We have every tire size you could possibly need hanging from the ceiling, and lots of racks that have all the specialty bike tools. And then our bike stands are scattered throughout the space. We have a whole wall of bins with brakes and parts and gears and hand grips and tubes. So patrons come in and they can just kind of like rifle through and find what they need. And if they need a little guidance, we have our staff here to help them do that. And then underneath us is an entire basement full of donated bikes. So there's a lot going on in the shop.
Neighborhood Bike Works is all about equitable access to biking and bike repair. So we have two types of programming for youth: bike riding in sort of a group ride setting, and then bicycle mechanics. Two sort of introductory programs are Earn a Bike and Group Ride. So Group Ride is obviously a group riding program. Earn a Bike, the youth select a donated bike, and then they spend 8 weeks learning how to get it road ready, how to maintenance that bike, basic road safety, and then that bike is theirs to keep, all free of charge. This is the repair shop. This is one of my favorite little things about the shop, and it's such a little tiny thing. On our corkboard here is a little picture of Albert Einstein on his bicycle with a quote from Albert Einstein, which says, "I thought of that while riding my bicycle." So this mural here is called Remembering the Past by Lucy Pastilli. This is actually a mural of Major Taylor. So Major Taylor was an African-American cyclist, and we actually celebrate Major Taylor every year. We have a big ride where a lot of our alumni come and all our current youth come. We celebrate them, we give special awards, and we teach about Major Taylor. We're serving about 174 kids per year. Most of our kids come from our zip code. The one exception to that is our summer camp programming, because that is basically a full day camp. The kids have the time to actually get to programming. The limiting factor for participation is really being able to get to our facility by 4 o'clock after school.
Initially, I was introduced to Neighborhood Bike Works in 2002. I was going to school at West Philadelphia High Automotive Academy, and my math teacher, he seen that I was athletic and that I enjoyed riding my bike. So he got me involved. I came in as an assistant instructor, knowing a little bit about tools because I was already at a school working on cars and stuff like that. That was my senior year in high school. And when I graduated, I continued to work with kids and bikes. I already like working with my hands and tools. Working with the program and the youth allowed me to like pick up working with kids and watching them develop.
So could you just tell me your name and title, please?
Mustafa Abdul Rashid, Youth Program Director. We don't just work on bikes. We go on group rides. We teach them how to ride safely in the community and how to safely like navigate, whether they're with a group or whether they're by themselves. And every summer we go on a 45-mile bike ride and go camping and then do another 45 back. And then we try to do a little bit of fishing and archery. And like, we just try to incorporate life and just nature. We work with kids ages 8 to 18 or as long as they're still in high school. The youth are riding bikes and sometimes they're not being safe. Like here, we teach them why you should wear a helmet, why you should like signal and be predictable when you're riding your bike. But we also teach them the value of just like being able to do something yourself and learn from the experiences that you get as you ride your bike or as you work on things.
15. I know the ABCs of cycling.
Yes.
Do you? What are they?
Recycle, reduce. What was it? Recycle, reduce. Yeah! How did I forget it?
Well, that's recycling. Pretty close. But ABCs of cycling we'll talk about. It's how you check your bike before you leave on a ride. So you check your air, you check your brakes, and you check your chain.
Oh, ABC. Mm-hmm.
My name's Eleanor, and I'm a youth program instructor here. These two kids are filling out a pre-program survey so that we can track how much they learn in our class.
My name is Eli. I'm 9, 8 years old. I get to earn a bike program last time. I didn't get to earn my bike yet. And I have a Hot Wheels bike at home.
Do you know about any green spaces nearby that you can bike to?
Yes.
What are they?
Wheels, the pedals.
So Eli, a green space is like a park or a place with grass and trees. Are there any green spaces near your house that you can bike?
Philadelphia is a great biking city, but every city can be an even better biking city. One thing that's really unique about Philadelphia is the amount of surrounding trails to the city itself. I can't tell you how many times the youth will come to us and say, "I didn't know I could bike 20 minutes from my house and, you know, be on a trail in the woods." And that's amazing.
My name is Makai Waters. I'm 22 years old, and I'm here for Earn a Bike and Build a Bike. It seems like we're going to take a tire off of a hub and try to build it off from scratch.
Neighborhood Bikeworks is a program that I wish was around when I was young. This would actually keep me continuing to like work here and come back to the program, because a lot of the program is just about giving back, and it's about recycling. It's about learning life through a bike. And it's just like me growing up in like West Philadelphia, I used the bike, but I ran, I did a whole lot of different things. And now it just gives me like a different lens to kind of look at things. I'm able to give back some of the knowledge that I was taught as a kid to someone else.
How would you check to find out where the hole is?
You put it to your ear, or you could do another thing, which I never did in here yet, but put water on the tire, on the what you call it, the inner tube. Okay. So you can
get they are mechanical engineers or some of the youth. Well, they're not kids, but they're adults now. But I've definitely been working with them in bikes from like the ages of like six. Like one youth, I went to his high school graduation, his college graduation. Now he works at like Lockheed Martin. And it's just like, it's still a youth that I mentor. And he wants to come back. And he's mentoring some of the older youth that's coming to Bike Works right now.
That story was produced by block-by-block reporter Mary McVair. Neighborhood Bike Works is located at 3939 Lancaster Avenue in West Philadelphia. You can find out more about volunteering, taking classes, or donating bikes by visiting their website at neighborhoodbikeworks.com.
Philadelphia is one of the poorest big cities in the United States, and many people in the region face food insecurity, which means they can't always be sure they'll get enough food to meet their needs. But residents of some Philly neighborhoods have stepped up to fill those needs with community refrigerators, places where neighbors can give or receive food, no questions asked. Block by Block reporter Sherry Pennington brings us a story about the impact a refrigerator in Germantown has had on the nearby community.
After the pandemic hit, I lost my job and went through many aggravating months of trying to get my unemployment check. I started looking for ways to get by and found out about free food giveaways that were happening all over the city. Luckily, I found several in my Germantown neighborhood. Many of the places I visited handed out pre-packed bags of food, and then you took the bags home to sort through the items. You had to decide what you could actually eat. I and others tossed food that we couldn't use due to diet, allergies, or even religious beliefs. The good news, this is not a big problem anymore since the installation of community refrigerators where you can take what you want and leave the rest for someone else, and then you don't have to worry. Recently, at the Germantown fridge, I was opening a bag that I had just picked up and was dropping off food. While I was there, a lady pulled up in an SUV that was filled with lots of good food. She mentioned an upcoming celebration for the Germantown Refrigerator's fourth anniversary. I attended the gathering, and there I met Minister William Martin of the Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church.
I'm here today because we actually have a table where we're giving out men's and women's deodorant, lotion, and also bars of soap. We have been in partnership with the community fridge since its inception in 2021. This is just an awesome, awesome feeling of being a blessing to the community. It also helps us as a church in meeting the real tangible needs of many here in Germantown and beyond throughout the city of Philadelphia. We do have a part in maintaining the refrigerator and keeping it going. Last year, there was a call that the leaders of the Germantown Community Fridge put out that they were raising money for a new fridge. So I presented it to Pastor Waller, and he said, well, why don't you just buy the fridges? And so that's what we did.
Amen. I spoke to a couple of frequent visitors to get their perspectives of the impact of the community refrigerator.
My name is Vita. It's very helpful because there's a lot of homeless people and seniors who it's not in their budget and they don't get food stamps and it's more important things they have to pay for. So it really comes in handy.
And we have another gentleman, your name?
Kevin Fritz. I'm both a recipient and a handout giver. I see what the prices are in the supermarket and look at everything. And then, you know, before you know it, coming back and forth with both makes a big difference in your check week to week because I'm on Social Security disability. Prices are up again. And this helps people, seniors, anyone, children, even families that are working. Things like this help out people so they can have other opportunities. Use your car to get to work and stuff like that. So I come here, I pick things up for myself and also family. I probably come a couple times a week. I find foods here that are different usually than the supermarket. So it's a great place.
There are two Germantown community refrigerators located on 20 West Armat Street and 19 East High Street. They house both refrigerated food as well as pantry items. Their mission is to help fight hunger and food insecurity and provide free supplemental food in Germantown. I caught up with Shan, who is a very integral organizer of the Germantown Fridge. Just asked her about the history and how everything got started.
The person that works at Green Street Friends, Jane, was moving into a new space and she had an extra fridge, and she kept seeing on social media other community fridges popping up in other parts of the country and in New York and in like California and stuff. And she was like, we can do this in Germantown. And right before we launched our stuff, South Philly Fridges started in Philly, and we're like, yeah, if they can do it, we can do it. So she started the social media page and just was asking for the community to help. Like, I need somebody to build this. I need somebody to paint this. I need whatever. I don't know what I'm doing. Let's figure this out together. And that's how I got involved with it.
So where do you guys get all the good food from?
Honestly, all over the city. And it's such an incredible network of people. We have volunteers that go to West Philly to pick up meals that are pre-made. So people have grab and go and heatable things. We have a nonprofit in Germantown called Northwest Mutual Aid Collective. And they give us like fresh produce and dairy and other goodies when they get it. Sharing excess and share foods gives us a lot of stuff. And then various churches will just drop off. Like, we don't even know all the people that help. And that's like such a beautiful aspect. We don't know how many hands go into the fridges, but we know there's always food going in and out of it. Especially during COVID, I feel like we had to get creative. Everybody was getting 2 gallons of plain yogurt in like the USDA boxes. So all the plain yogurt was going to the fridges. And so we like made parfaits. We added some vanilla. We doctored them up so people were enjoying them. Because some people don't know what to do with the food either. We made curries and did like a yogurt curry with it. So good. Like a month or so ago, a girl saw like a mango for the first time. She was like, what is this? I was like, you got to try. It. Mangoes are so good. She was like, oh my gosh. And then I saw her a couple weeks later. She was like, girl, that mango. I was like, yes.
In Philly, there are more than 24 community refrigerators actively serving neighborhoods. At the fridge, you take what you need and leave what you don't want. You can Google Philly Free Food Community Refrigerators. You can also go to the City of Philadelphia's website, which has a list of sites that you can find free food and meals. They list the locations, days, and times, so it is easy to see what's nearby. For Block by Block, I'm Sherry Pennington.
When you think about Halloween, you probably think about costumes and candy. But the holiday's roots go back to ancient agricultural festivals, where communities would gather all the treats they'd grown and share their harvest with deceased ancestors to avoid being tricked by malicious spirits. Block by Block reporter Jennifer Robnett brings us this story about a group of grave gardeners who do their part to honor the dead by tending to small gardens on gravesites in a West Philadelphia cemetery.
It's October 2024, and Philadelphians cannot escape certain facts. A high-stakes presidential election looms, flu and COVID-19 infections are on the rise, and once again, it's that time of year when we hand over our collective mental health to a football team. It makes sense that many of us wish to escape our screens for some last hurrahs outside before it's time to retreat indoors for winter. Visits to orchards and cemeteries immediately come to mind, but better yet, a cemetery inside an orchard. The Woodland Cemetery in West Philadelphia, which includes the Philadelphia Orchard Project's Food Forest, also known as their Learning Orchard, is just that, A 54-acre oasis nestled between the west bank of the Schuylkill River and Woodland Avenue that provides a peaceful refuge for the dead and the living. The Victorian-era Philadelphians that established the Woodlands in 1840 believed that graveyards are made of the people and are thereby for living people to enjoy. This Victorian tradition continues today with the Woodlands Grave Gardeners, a group of volunteer gardeners that maintain and grow plants alongside the graves of the deceased. Some might call them mort-aculturalists. I spoke with grave gardener Sherry Michael to learn more.
I am a grave gardener at the Woodlands. We are volunteers that adopt cradle graves, they're called. Not because they have anything to do with cradles, but they're kind of bathtub shaped, like planting beds. And there's a program at the Woodlands where they accept volunteers and they teach us how to garden historically accurate plants that we use. So it's just not random stuff we're picking up at like the plant center. This was something back in the Victorian times the families would have done because this was before the public park system. And a lot of public parks and horticultural areas, they weren't free. So when people bought cemetery plots, they would actually spend time there. They would picnic there. They used it as an opportunity to have like flower beds and stuff. So we volunteer for one particular grave or a family and maintain it all season long. When they take new volunteers around December, they always have a limited number of volunteers they can take just because of funding. But last time I checked, there was over 100 grave gardeners. Part of the thing you can do is learn a little bit about the family that you've adopted at the Historical Commission in Philadelphia. They do give you an option to go do some genealogical research, and you can go through like birth records and marriage records and stuff. And I have a husband and his wife, Harriet and James Evans. They just didn't have a lot of written records about them. I know where they lived on Broad Street for a while.
Does anyone report being haunted?
I've never had that experience. People say it's a very peaceful place, and so maybe they just all know we're there, like, doing the work, and they're happy to have us there, so they leave us alone. But kind of a sad story. When I first started, I actually had a partner that was assigned to me, and she ended up dying of cancer. There is an area that's still an active graveyard, and she is not too far away, actually, from her grave garden. And she was Jewish, so I go put, like, rocks and things on her grave, which is a Jewish tradition. So, yeah. The Philadelphia Orchard Project, they're doing a lot of really cool stuff where they've planted trees and different kinds of like native plants, edible plants and things. We have art shows there and craft fairs and music. And this is completely what the Victorians would want because once again, they use this as their public space.
For more information about the Grave Gardeners, visit their website at gravegardeners.org.
That story was produced by Block by Block reporter Jennifer Robnett.
Block by Block is produced by Lisa Barnes, Julia Lowe, Marianne Nygbert, Sherry Pennington, Jennifer Robnett, Kay Michelle Watson, and us,
Natalie Thomas,
and Sultan Smalley. Julia Lowe is our board operator tonight.
Brad Linder is Radio News Managing Editor for WPPM. Peter Liu is Radio Operations Manager, and Allison Durham is WPPM's Radio Program Manager.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of Block by Block, featuring more stories about issues affecting life in the Philly region. And you can find past episodes of the show on Philly Cam's SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you find your podcasts.
Thanks for listening.